Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for May 28, 2013. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be speaking with Stephen Balk about the substrate specificity of a kinase called BMX. BMX is a protein tyrosine kinase, so it covalently attaches phosphate groups to tyrosine residues in target proteins. Although it's known that BMX can be activated downstream of PI3 kinase, not much is known about its substrates. In a study published this week in Science Signaling, Stephen Balk's group reports that BMX preferentially phosphorylates protein motifs that contain primed tyrosines, which are unphosphorylated tyrosine residues located near another tyrosine residue that's already been phosphorylated. Balk spoke to me from the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center at the Harvard Medical School. Hi, Dr. Balk. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
In this current study, you focused on a kinase called BMX, which stands for bone marrow tyrosine kinase on the X chromosome. That name suggests that it functions in the bone marrow. Is that the only place it's active?
It was initially discovered in bone marrow, hence the name, but subsequent studies have shown that it's actually expressed on multiple other cell types, in particular arterial endothelial cells, but also more broadly, including epithelial cells in multiple tissues.
And what sorts of biological processes does BMX participate?
That had been the area that was a real question. It had been implicated in a wide variety of biological processes, including cell growth, apoptosis, responses to DNA damage, but precisely how it was working hadn't really been known before, which was a major part of the reason that we endeavored to understand exactly what its substrates are. So BMX had been implicated by a number of groups in the activation of a transcription factor called STAT3, for instance, which has a variety of important roles in cell survival in a variety of cell types. But exactly how BMX might regulate STAT3 wasn't really known. It had also been implicated to interact with focal adhesion kinase. Again, the basis for that wasn't quite known. And in mice that are deficient for BMX, which have been generated and are reasonably healthy, it had been noted that those mice have a modest defect in angiogenesis in response to various ischemic insults. You know, that in conjunction with the expression of BMX on arterial endothelial cells suggested some role in response of endothelial cells to hypoxia. But again, precisely how that occurred wasn't very clear. And in a number of cell types, it's been shown that it can affect the ability to respond to apoptotic stimuli through P53. But again, exactly how it does that hasn't been clear.
So BMX has been implicated in a lot of different processes, but like you said, not much was known about its substrates. And so in this study, you set out to identify the types of protein substrates that BMX can phosphorylate in vitro. And you did this by essentially presenting BMX with a library of peptides and asking which ones were good substrates for BMX. What did you conclude about the substrate specificity of BMX from these in vitro experiments?
What was remarkable was that the peptide that it preferred to phosphorylate had a what we refer to as a priming phosphotyrosine at the minus one position. So the way the peptides are generated, it's a library of peptides, and there's a tyrosine in the middle. And for peptides that had a phosphotyrosine at the minus one position, we found that BMX would very robustly phosphorylate those peptides. And it didn't seem to make a tremendous difference what the other amino acids were.
So this identification of the preferred BMX substrate was done in vitro. Did you look at the specificity of BMX in cells?
In a way, the peptide library approach is a hypothesis-generating result that one has to validate. And actually, the first way to validate it is just to look at intact proteins. So our next step was to go from the peptide to a protein that had the priming phosphorylation at the minus one position and then the available tyrosine and ask, does BMX phosphorylate that protein in vitro? And the protein we chose to look at was focal adhesion kinase, FAK, because a previous study had shown that BMX can actually interact with FAK and had indicated that FAK would actually phosphorylate BMX. So we thought, well, perhaps BMX is actually phosphorylating FAK. And another interesting thing about FAK is that it associates with the SARC tyrosine kinase. And SARC has been shown to phosphorylate BMX and mediate its activation. So there was a potential nice pathway wherein BMX might be recruited or interacting with FAK, be activated by SARC, and then phosphorylate FAK. So we thought that was a very good protein to look at. So we started by looking in vitro, by looking at FAK that was phosphorylated in vitro by SARC. So we know that SARC would phosphorylate the priming tyrosine. And that had been shown, and it wasn't clear what phosphorylated the next tyrosine. So it made a lot of sense to go ahead and test whether it was BMX. And we were able to show in vitro using FAK that was phosphorylated initially by SARC that if we then incubated it with BMX in a kinase reaction that it would be indeed phosphorylated. And then we could show by mass spectrometry that the site that was phosphorylated was precisely the site after the priming tyrosine.
So BMX is able to phosphorylate those sites that you predicted from your peptide screen in a whole protein in vitro. And so how about in a cellular context?
Right. So then the next step was to ask, well, does this really happen in cells? So our approach then was also first to just ask if we overexpress BMX in vivo, could we see phosphorylation of that second site? And I should just say that we first looked at published mass spectrometry data for phosphorylated proteins to ask, well, what proteins have a dual tyrosine phosphorylation? So we would predict that any protein in vivo that's phosphorylated by BMX would have a phospho-Y, phospho-Y. So the priming phospho-Y followed by the Y being tyrosine that BMX had phosphorylated. So we looked at the published literature using a very nice website from Cell Signaling, the PhosphoCyte website. And what was striking was that the dual tyrosine phosphorylation appears in the kinase domain of multiple receptor tyrosine kinases. In addition to FAK, it appeared in the MET tyrosine kinase, IGF, and insulin receptor, a variety of other ones. So we had the hypothesis that perhaps BMX was phosphorylating the kinase domain of tyrosine kinases. So we were able to use the available antibodies to first ask in vivo, if we overexpress BMX, would we increase the phosphorylation of those sites? And we were able to show that for several receptor tyrosine kinases that we looked at. So in addition to FAK, we could show it. FAK not actually being a receptor tyrosine kinase, but being a tyrosine kinase that does respond to extracellular signals. We were able to show it for MET, which is the receptor for hepatocyte growth factor, for fibroblast growth factor, and for another tyrosine kinase, ACK1.
From your survey of the mass spec data, in which you identified potential BMX substrates, does that list of candidates give you any clues as to additional processes that BMX might function in, maybe processes that BMX wasn't appreciated to be involved in before?
Yes. Even first with respect to FAK, it had been suggested that FAK mediates the activation of BMX. So our data shows that it also goes the other way, that BMX mediates the activation of FAC. So I think that's a process that hadn't been anticipated previously. The ability of BMX to phosphorylate multiple receptor tyrosine kinases had not been predicted previously. And an important point, which maybe I didn't emphasize before, but is emphasized in the manuscript, is that those two tyrosines need to be both phosphorylated in order for these kinases to achieve maximal activity. So it's felt that the first tyrosine, the priming tyrosine in this case, is phosphorylated through auto or transphosphorylation in response to binding a ligand. So hepatocyte growth factor, for instance, for MET. And that BMX, by then phosphorylating the second tyrosine, mediates the full activation of the kinase.
So BMX then might play a role in multiple signaling pathways by enhancing the activation of receptors.
Correct. So that is the new function that we've predicted, that it may function kind of globally as a mechanism for the cell to kind of tune up or tune down responses to receptor tyrosine kinase signaling. One other thing I didn't emphasize is because BMX is activated by SARC, but it's also activated in response to PI3 kinase pathway activity. So BMX has a plextrin homology domain, and it's one of the members of the TEC family of kinases that are unique in having the plextrin homology domain. So activation of PI3 kinase recruits BMX to the membrane, allowing it to be active. So the model would be that in cells where there's active PI3 kinase signaling, which tells the cell that there's an abundance of growth factors, et cetera, that will then sensitize the cell to respond to particular receptor tyrosine kinase stimuli. And conversely, if the cell is deficient in PI3 kinase signaling, indicating that maybe metabolically deficient, it will tune down responses to receptor tyrosine kinases. So it mediates some crosstalk between those two pathways.
Your initial screen was done in vitro, and you did some biochemistry in vitro, and then you did some cell culture work with focal adhesion kinase. How about in vivo? Did you look at BMX function in the context of a whole animal?
Yes, we did. What we decided to look at was the response to insulin, because our in vitro data had shown that the phosphorylation of the insulin receptor in response to insulin was diminished in BMX-deficient cells. So we predicted that BMX knockout mice might be somewhat resistant to insulin. Interestingly, what we found was the opposite, and that BMX-deficient mice were actually hypersensitive to insulin. And when we looked downstream of the insulin receptor, we were able to show that that was because of feedback in response to loss of BMX that decreased the expression of a phosphatase, PHLPP, which inactivates AKT. So in essence, the loss of BMX, although it decreased activation of the insulin receptor, sensitized the PI3 kinase AKT pathway downstream of the insulin receptor, and the net result was actually hypersensitivity to insulin.
If BMX is potentially involved in regulating the activity of many, many different receptor tyrosine kinase signaling pathways, why are the BMX knockout mice viable, or why aren't they sicker than they are?
Right. So it's clear that BMX is not absolutely required for the activity in vivo, at least, of FAC, MET, insulin receptor, because knockout of those molecules is clearly lethal or has a much stronger phenotype. So BMX is helping the cells fine-tune or modulate the response to signaling through those factors. And the cells and the organism can obviously adapt via a variety of feedback mechanisms to the absence of BMX. And the defect only really shows up when you stress the animals or look very carefully at a particular pathway. For instance, insulin response or response to an ischemic insult through angiogenesis.
Thank you, Dr. Balk, for speaking with me.
It was my pleasure, and I thank you and all of my collaborators that contributed to the study.
That was Stephen Balk, senior author of a paper published in the May 28th issue of Science Signaling. That paper by Chen and colleagues is titled Tyrosine Kinase BMX Phosphorylates a Phosphotyrosine-Primed Motif Mediating the Activation of Multiple Receptor Tyrosine Kinases. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa VanHook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.